You good now? Better? I woke me up a little bit. I've had a long day, so that's what I needed. Yeah. As I'm sure you guys are glad to be with me, I'm extremely thankful and glad to be with you. It's been a little bit of a long week for me. I've been talking nonstop for 3 days, 8 hours. I've been training at work. I know some of you say, well, you talk more than that on a normal day anyways. And yeah, I do, but my throat is a little hoarse. My voice is a little hoarse, so please bear with me tonight as I deliver the word. When we think about what the priority of the church is, what goes through your guys' head, and you don't have to say it, I just want you to think about, if I were to ask you what is the priority of the church to the world, and what is the priority of the church to its members, two different things, what would you think? Like I say, you don't have to answer, just want you to think about it. If you have your Bibles, please join me in Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. That's where we'll be starting. I'll be in a few places tonight, but we'll be starting in Matthew chapter 28. And many of you guys know these verses, the Great Commission. So to answer that question for what is the priority of the church to the people, it is no more than getting the gospel of Jesus Christ out to the people. By who? By the believers that God has called us to be. So let's read here verse 16 through 20. And I will be reading out of the King James Version tonight. Verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we open up your word tonight, God, and we begin to hear your words spoken, Lord, I just pray that our hearts be open to it, God, and that we can learn from this message, God, that we can be strengthened as a church, God, as a people, as believers in you, God, so that we can do what you've called us to do. And we see here that our priority is to take what you've taught us and share it with the world outside these walls, God. We love you, and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. So that's not where I want to be specifically tonight. I just wanted you to know that the priority of the church is to get the word out to the outside world. I was driving down the street the other day, and Ashley was with me. And I asked her, I said, hey, if I were to ask you the same question, what is the priority of the church, what would you say? She sat there for a second. She pondered the question, and she said, well, wouldn't the priority of the church to be to encourage and to grow and to build up the believers? I said, yeah. Is that it? And she...
Mind you, he wasn't expecting the right answer.
I was not. I didn't know. I thought she was going to say something general, like people. The priority of the church is people. But she was very spot on. And where I want to spend most of our time tonight is in Ephesians chapter 4. And we'll see what Paul has to say about what the priority of the church to the church is. And so you say, okay, well, we know that the priority of the church to the world is spreading the gospel. How do we get there? Well, let's see what Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12 say. We pick it up in 11, and it says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. So verse 11, let's sit there for a second. We see here that this he that Paul is talking about, he in this letter that Paul is talking about is God himself. God himself has given people to the church. He establishes the church. And the reason he does that is in verse 12, which we'll get to in a minute. But Paul is saying here that God himself has established people. He's given people. He's given leaders into the church for a purpose. There is a reason that we are here serving God. There is a reason why God has established this church in Huntington. And we can see that through the ministries that we do. There is a reason why we are here. And don't forget that. And I just would like to remind you guys that... without God establishing a church, without God calling people to serve in an area, it is not a biblical church. It is a group of people that have come together to, in one way or another, share their own agenda with the world and take God's word and distort it to what makes it sound good and what makes us give us that feel-good message, which we get sometimes, but they do it for personal gain. They do it for a reason other than to spread the gospel. So I want to emphasize that. A church that has not been established by God, people that have not been called by God, it doesn't work. Okay, it might work for a while, but in the long run, to do what God's called us to, it will not work. So what I would like to do real quick is just define what the church is not and what the church is, so that we're all on the same page tonight, because oftentimes we say, oh, we're going to church, or, hey, I'm going to church tonight, this, that, or the other, and there's a truth to that to a degree. But I want to tell you first that the church is not this building. I think the majority of us know that. I think the majority of us understand that the church is not the building that we come to. This is the place where the church meets, but it is not the church. And I think sometimes we use that synonymously with what the church actually is. And according to God's word, the church is, oh, and you know, I have scripture there, of course. So Acts chapter 14, verse 27 says, and he gathered the church together. So I was thinking about the picture that it would be if everyone got all their buildings together and kind of pushed them off. Said, all right, gathering up the church, put it on the and I think you young guys know about SpongeBob when they push the town. Yeah. So I get that image in my head of pushing buildings together to a certain spot, and that's not what God's talking about. He's talking about the people, right? So we see that the church is the people. Through various scriptures, we see that the church is the body of believers. The church as a whole, the universal church, is all of the believers across the world that have come together that God has called and appointed to do specific things. That is the universal church, okay? More specifically, what I want to talk about is the local church, which is New Life Fellowship Huntington. And the difference between the local church and the universal church is that the local church, all of the local churches make up the universal church that God has called us to serve in. Okay, clear as mud? Good. Okay. With that being said, without verse 11 in Ephesians chapter 4, without God giving some of these people, without God establishing the church, the priority of the church will not work. Verse 12 cannot work. And it might look like it in some places that it's working and that, oh, everyone's doing what God wants them to do. But without being called by God, without being used for God, without being established by God himself, it will not work. But there's a reason that God calls people. There's a reason that God establishes churches. And it's a threefold reason, okay? So the priority of the church, of ourselves, to ourselves is threefold here. And we see verse 12, okay? Verse 12. So the first priority of the church is the perfecting of the saints. Some of your translations might say equipping. Might say another word along those lines. But that word it means maturing. It means learning. It means equipping. Okay? It means growing. We're supposed to grow. Dawn shared that she thanked God for not being the Christian that she was when she first started. She might have kept them blinds. And Brett still might be having a bad week. But I love the word that Paul uses here, which is perfecting, because that implies that it's an ongoing process. No matter where you're at in your walk, no matter what you're doing to serve the Lord, it's not this place, we don't come here to, the perfected people don't come here. We know that we are not done with the ministry that God has called us to serve in. We know that we are not finished. God's not finished with us because we are breathing. We are alive. We are here for a purpose. As Paul said, this is our purpose. And it's not just, I want to tell you guys that it's not just the leadership in the church that has this priority. Okay? It's everybody. It's the body of Christ, the local church that is to build each other up, to teach each other, so we can learn. Okay? And we say, well, how do we learn? How do we learn from God's word? How do we learn? Well, I look at it as kind of the maturing process of a human being over time, okay? So I'll paint this picture for you. So when you're a kid from ages 0 to 6, your family, your parents, your family, extended family, they are speaking into your lives. They are the people who are raising you. They are the people who are telling you what to believe, what not to believe. They really have a hold on what you need to be doing. They're really trying to get these fundamentals, these rules established, manners established, and all these things to build you up, okay, to be a decent young boy or girl. And then you get into the school-age kids, anywhere, 6 to 19, Now you have a whole group, a whole different group of people that's trying to instill their values in you as well. So not only do you have your teachers, the principals, the educational staff putting an education into you, you also have the classmates and the friends who are kind of shaping and molding how you are to act socially. They see this is okay to do this with this person, this is not okay. And they begin to grow and they begin to learn based on what other kids or teachers say is acceptable and what is not acceptable. And then we get a little bit older and we get into the workplace. And then there's a whole new set of rules that we have to follow. There's a whole new set of guidelines that we have to learn. There's a whole new set of procedures and work instructions and how to act in the workplace. So all along the way, there's people pouring into us to make us, functioning members of society so that we are able to make it in society. I remember I was actually having a conversation with my mom the other week, and she said, I remember the first time that I realized you guys had a conscience. And I looked up to God and I said, thank you, Lord. One less thing I have to worry about. And I said, well, you know, and you don't think about those things. But these people, they pour into us to get us to be functioning members of society. And we learn. That's what we do as human beings. We learn and we understand. We try and fit the mold. And the same thing happens when we come to church. Okay, but instead of being functioning members in society, the church is here. The perfecting of the saints is here. To grow us in a biblical walk, a biblical perspective of the world. And we learn from each other. I've learned from pretty much everybody in this room, one way or another, one thing or another. The Spirit's worked on me in one way or another. And in that learning while we're here, whether it's through the preaching, through a Bible study, through Sunday night, through small group, whatever it may be, we come here to gather for a purpose. And that first purpose is to learn. Okay, and we say, well, how do we learn? Well, turn with me to Matthew chapter 11, and we'll be in verse 29. And that says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. So I want you guys to pay attention here with this. Okay, the first part of 29 says, take my yoke on you. What Jesus is saying here is, trade your sin for forgiveness. Take what I have to offer and trade it for what you have to offer. Take what I give, take the life that I give for you and trade it for that life of sin. Okay, so we can experience this, one, when we gave our life to Christ. When we gave our life to Christ, we traded our yoke, which is what an oxen wears. It allows you to allow them to pull and plow up. That's that headdress, that block on its shoulder that allowed it to pull. That's what a yoke is. And he's saying, trade your yoke of despair, sin, all these other things for mine. Okay, so we experience that when we allow Jesus into our life, when he saved us. And we experience it still when we screw up. God gives us that opportunity to trade our sin every day for something new, for that forgiveness, okay? But he doesn't just leave us there. He says, once you take that, there's a second part to this. It says, and learn. Wouldn't it be silly if every time we ran to God with a sin and asked for forgiveness, we just went right back to it? And you guys are like, yeah, that would be silly. We do it all the time. But it wouldn't make sense, right? Because he calls us to learn from our mistakes. He calls us to learn. He doesn't say, you know, trade what you got, give it to me, and then you just keep doing what you're doing, man. You're fine. I got it. I'm holding it now. No, he calls us to learn. Okay? And you say, well, yeah, that's all fine and good, but how does the church help me out with that? How do I, this verse right here really gives no excuses for learning. We know that we learn from Jesus because that's who we're learning from, the Holy Spirit, if it lives inside us, that is teaching us how to learn what God has called us to do. And as we progress, as we begin to mature, as we begin to learn, we should be asking what God wants for our lives, okay? And you say, well, that's all fine and good, but how do I learn from God? Well, I don't know how to pray. Well, Matthew chapter 6 gives a pretty good example of the Lord's Prayer. Well, I don't know how, I don't know what God wants for me. I don't know how to act. I don't know what certain thing he wants me to do. Well, if you know how to read, you can get in the Word and figure it out. if you know how to, if you're obedient, you know what God wants for you. You know what God wants you to do. You just choose not to do it. And so as you begin to progress, as you begin to mature, as you begin to grow in the Lord, there's something else that is expected of you, okay? Because we see back in Ephesians 4 that this is not the end, okay? It's not, oh, for the perfecting of the saints. We don't just learn and give up. We don't just learn and that's good enough, because the second priority of the church to the church is the work of the ministry. So as you mature, you are expected to participate in church. Let me tell you this, coming here is the bare minimum. God expects you to serve. Okay, God expects you to serve. So turn with me to James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. And that says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, then this man shall be blessed in his deed." So I ask you the question, what's your ministry? What is God calling you to do? You say, "I don't know. I don't know. I think he just wants me to come to church." Yeah, he does. But he's saying right here, don't just be a hearer of the word. You have to do what the word says. And we know our priority is to take the word out to the world, but there's a priority that the church has to give us to get there. So it's a constant progression. It's the maturing. It's the participating in what God wants to do. And every time, I mean, for the past, I don't know, 2 months or so since we've been open, every Sunday morning, and I'm not going to knock anybody, but every Sunday morning I've heard Ashley go up here giving the announcements, "Hey, if there are any volunteers for children's church, if there are any volunteers for nursery, we need more teams, we can serve." And I'm not saying that that's what God has called you to do in here, but I'm saying if it is, you need to be doing it. If he's calling you to a ministry, you ought to be doing it. Why? Because he says so. It really is that simple. And it might not be nursery, it might not be children's church, it might not be any other, take your pick, meal ministry, women's life house, women's children's life house. It might not be any of those, but he's calling you to do something if you're a believer. He's calling you to do more than just show up. Anybody can show up. We show up all the time for stuff. I show up to work and I get paid, but I'm expected to work while I'm there, right? And then the third thing. So as we begin to learn and figure out what God wants for our life, and as we begin to participate in that ministry that God has called us to, now the third part of this is the edifying of the body of Christ. And because I'm not the smartest person, I had to look up what edify meant. And old Merriam-Webster says, "Edify is defined as to instruct someone in a way that enlightens them or uplifts them morally, spiritually, or intellectually." Thought to myself, that's a fancy word for teach. But so as we begin to grow and mature, as we begin to participate, God's word says now we're to teach others. We are to show them what God has taught us. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. That says, and this is Paul writing to Timothy, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Y'all, we're supposed to teach what we've learned. We're supposed to teach what the Holy Spirit has taught us. We're supposed to teach others about the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Doesn't mean anything if we just hold it all in. right? We're supposed to teach. We're commanded to teach. And as we progress in our walk, as we begin to figure out what God wants for us, and we participate and we teach, I think anybody who, I mean, we are mostly adults here, this is basically how we all grew up, right? We learned as a kid. We started working. We participated in something as a young adult. And now many of us are at the point in our lives, whether it's professional, in our career, grandparents, parents. Now we get to teach the next generation how to do things the right way, how to do things God's way. And let me tell you this too, church. As I said before, if we aren't doing it for God, if we have not been established by God, it ain't going to work. It is not going to work. We can tell anybody what they want to hear. We can tell anybody what makes them feel good. We can tell anybody, if you're just a good person, you'll make it to heaven. If your good outweighs your bad, you're in. We'll pray you in. We'll pay you in. We'll make sure that you didn't miss that boat. Just send us a nice check. We'll get you in there. I didn't see that in any of the scripture that I read tonight. I don't see that anywhere in God's word. But what I do see is a priority that he calls each and every one of us to do. I do see the words that I read tonight kind of illuminated a little bit. Say, man, am I doing all that God has called me to do? Am I being everything that God has called me to be? The same conversation I had with my mom, she said, so tell me about church. What's going on? I said, well, I am the youth pastor. I am preaching every once in a while. And it's been terrifying. It's been exciting. It's been nerve-wracking. I've lost sleep over it. She said, why do you do it? If you don't like it, why do you do it? I said, well, Mom, because I spent 25, 26 years doing things the way I wanted to do it. And where'd that get me? Got me upset. Got me losing my joy. Got me to where I was at 3-4 years ago. Nowhere. Yeah, I was following God. But the blessings weren't what he wanted. You know how many people I've talked to this week about Jesus? Like 4 of them. And you're like, well, that's it. I'm like, yeah, well, that's what I have at work. Okay, cut me a break. But the point is, I'm now doing what God wants me to do. I had the new guy I'm training. I talked to him today. And he said something. So what do you do for fun? I said, I go to church, I read my Bible, I wrestle. He goes, you go to church? I told him, yes, I'm actually preaching tonight. And we started talking. And he said, my dad got a calling to be a pastor when we were kids. We moved from Chicago and moved down here. I said, how'd that change your life? He goes, dude, it was ridiculous. He's like, he just packed up and we went. He just went. I said, I know that feeling. He said, I got that call. I said, and what'd you learn from it? He's like, well, I learned how to go to church. And you laugh, but that's all he learned. That's all he learned. Even though who his dad was, pastor of a church, all he learned was how to sit in a pew. All he learned was how to show up. And we see here that God doesn't just want us to show up. If all we did was show up, nothing would get changed out there. If all we did was show up, this church wouldn't exist. If all Jimmy did when God called him to serve was show up, I wouldn't be sitting here. You wouldn't be sitting here. And it because of who Jimmy is. It's because he said, okay, God, I'll start growing up a little bit. I'll start participating in what you have called me to do and the way you have called me to serve. And now that I've done those things, I can start teaching. I can start building up that next generation. I can start building up the next generation of New Life Fellowship Church. Not because of who I am, not for my glory, but because of who you are. I think that's an awesome thing. If you'd ask me 5 years ago, 6 years ago, where I'd be, I would say anywhere else. But right here. As a matter of fact, a couple Sundays ago, I don't know what got into me. I said, "Hey, Jimmy, hey, I think I got a series going on." And I don't ask to preach. It's not something I quite enjoy doing. It's terrifying. But I said, "Hey, Jimmy, I think I got a series going. Do you think I can have a couple of Wednesdays in a row?" He said, "Well, I don't know about that." He said, "But I am going to get you up here on a Sunday morning one day." I walked right to Ashley. I said, "Hey, where do you want to move to?" And she said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "Well, he just said I'm going to be preaching on a Sunday morning one day. And I don't want to do that. Where do you want to move to?" She said, "Nowhere." You don't always have to do things because it makes you feel good. You don't always have to do it. But as you begin to grow, as you begin to mature, as you begin to participate, as you begin to teach, you see the blessings that God gives to you. You see the confidence that God puts in you. You see how lives can be changed because of words that are written in this book. And so why do we do all of these things? Why do we follow this equation, if you will? Well, because one, it works. Because two, God's called us to do it. So as we stand, as we wrap up, I'd like to ask you, in these three priorities that the church has, where are you at? Are you learning? Do you continue to learn? Are you doing what God has called you to do? Have you asked, "God, what do you want from me? How do you want me to live my life? How do you want me to serve you?" And if you have, who are you sharing it with?